I think that there's so many joys of motherhood. I will never know what my kids look like. That's really hard. But my kids are just as beautiful, whether I can see them or not. And they're just as valuable and they're just as precious to me.
Hello, I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
And I'm Victor Nieves, your co-host. Welcome to part two of our important conversation surrounding pregnancy and motherhood for women with disabilities.
Now, last week, we talked about Chelsea and Sydney's story as they shared about being a mom and having a disability. This week, we will continue our conversation about navigating motherhood despite their challenges from society.
That's right. They're two very inspiring women. And despite being bullied, they continued to press on in their journey of motherhood. And we'll go more in depth on that as we're joined once again by Chelsea Davis, the host of the pro-life Christian podcast titled Blind Mom Life. She lost her vision due to birth control pills she was pressured to take when she was only 19 years old and started sharing her story publicly with Christian audiences back in 2019. Again, we're also joined by Sydney Ann Bennett. She's a writer, disability advocate, and content creator. Sydney started sharing her story online as a way to encourage others who have a disability or chronic illness.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so great to be with you guys today.
It's great to be here.
I'd like to ask both of you this next question. Give us some practical insight to how you're navigating motherhood with a disability. Chelsea?
I take things one day at a time. Sometimes I have to take it one moment at a time. I have to ask for a lot of help. Sometimes I have a higher level of help that my husband provides than I feel like most women's husbands do. And I ask people from church for favors, for rides, places, so my kids can get out and go to the park, things that I just can't provide, not being able to drive. And, you know, sometimes that gets to me because I've, on a really hard day, I've asked myself, like, why am I even here? Like, oh, what am I doing? How am I helping my kids at all? But I just keep pushing through in those moments. And eventually one of them will come hug me and say, I love you, mommy. And I realize that I'm the one who was chosen to be their mother. And that really encourages me because I love my babies and my babies love me. And are things perfect and easy all the time? No, but I have been so lucky that one of the first speaking events that I ever did, a woman met me after in the audience and she pulled me aside. She's like, Chelsea, I need to tell you something. And I was like, what? What is it? What's your name? She's like, me and my husband went through your story, but opposite about 20 years ago. And I want to let you know that he's a blind father and our daughters are amazing. They're so kind. They're so generous. They are so thoughtful because they know what it's like to help people and to see people and to know that they have needs and that they can really be there to support them. And there is something special that happens when you're raised by a disabled parent. You view the world differently. Because you were relied on sometimes for help. I'll ask my daughter, is your brother in the toilet again? And she'll say yes or no. And it's very helpful. And that's not a bad thing. It's good for her esteem. And it shows her that we are on this world to work together to be a community.
Sydney, what about you? What are some of the practical realities you've had to face with raising children in a chair?
I found that the hardest part for me personally is always the next part. You know, this went all the way back to my pregnancy where I'm like floored by the first trimester symptoms. And then, oh my goodness, how is this going to be when I get bigger? And then as I'm in the third trimester, how is my body going to react to labor? Then how is it going to be with the newborn phase? How is it going to be when she becomes mobile? How will I do this next thing? And I didn't even realize that I was like the part that I was living in right now was the part I was worried about a few months ago. And so when I kind of recognized this cycle that I was creating for myself, it became easier to sort of handle that anxiety. And I honestly think for healthy and unhealthy parents, like parenting is so much learning on the job where you might think like, okay, I have this all figured out and I have it planned out. And then you actually get to that season and you realize that none of your plans will actually work in practicality and you need to refigure out how you're going to do this. And so A lot of parenting has just been getting creative. And so some of the practical ways that looks has been, we never got our daughter a crib. She went straight to a floor mattress in her room, and it's a full-size mattress. I can lay down on it with her. She can get in and out of it by herself. There's pool noodles around the edge so that she can't roll out of bed. And whenever I'm feeling very sick or I feel like I might have a seizure, I just take her into the room and we lay down in the bed together, and everything is childproof. And I know that she can access me. She can get on and off freely. She can reach her toys, and she can do that and be safe for however long I'll need to feel better. And we play in her bed all the time. It's some of our best memories are on the bed in her room while I'm having bad symptom days. And so much of it is just being willing to get creative and allow things to look different and not necessarily see your bad days. And so I love that she's going to grow up seeing me need to rest and seeing me need to navigate these symptoms, because I think that if I had grown up knowing that was okay, then doing this now would have been a lot easier.
Well, it sounds like you have it all figured out. What are some of the joys of being a mother despite the challenges of a disability? Chelsea?
Oh, I think that there's so many joys of motherhood that, okay, it's true. I will never know what my kids look like. That's really hard. That gets me really upset some days. But I can feel their faces and I can feel their smiles. I remember when they were first little babies and they were just starting to giggle, I would move so quickly or like run across the room. I'm like, wait, are you smiling? I want to feel it. I want to feel your first smile. And that's fun. There's special things that we do because I'm blind. My daughter would bring me books and I would not know which one it was. So I would just make up a story. And that was such a cool thing for us to do together. As she got older, I would be like, once upon a time, there was a very fat duck. And she was like, that's a dog. So I'd be like, okay, there's a dog who wanted to be a duck. And it's just a fun thing that we do together that's so special that never would have happened if I wasn't disabled. And am I going to pretend that it's not trying sometimes? No, of course it is. But my kids are just as beautiful, whether I can see them or not. And they're just as valuable and they're just as precious to me.
Sydney, how about you?
Yeah, so one of the things that I tell people with disabilities that are nervous about becoming parents is a lot of the hard things you are doing. So like, I was worried, you know, how am I going to handle sleep deprivation? How am I going to handle my flare-ups, my bad symptom days, asking for help? And then I realized all of those things I was already dealing with. I was already handling not being able to sleep and having flare-ups and bad symptom days and needing to ask for help and limited mobility and all of these things that I was concerned about. And I was figuring it out and doing those things, and those things would happen whether I had a baby or not. And so what I wasn't ready for were all the wonderful things. I had been practicing all of the really hard parts of parenting without a baby for a really long time, but I hadn't expected like how much wonder and beauty there was in parenting. And that was what I wasn't prepared for. And so having a baby, just, I was so worried that I would make her world smaller because of my limitations. But what I'm finding is that babies and kids, they're excited to be there. Like, they're curious and they wonder about the smallest things. And instead of me making her world smaller, I feel like she's made my world bigger because I'm re-seeing so much through her eyes. And then we've been able to find some activities that work for both of us. Like, she loves being in the water. And so we've been able to go to these mommy and me swim lessons because I can balance well in the water. And the water helps my pain and my symptoms a lot. And then she's just having a blast. So here's this physical activity I didn't even think about before she was born that now we're able to do together. I'm so thankful that I let myself move forward not knowing what things would look like exactly, because even though there is a lot of hard days and days that I'm not feeling well, and it's like, okay, babe, you have to take the baby for a little while because I can't get out of bed and focus right now, there's also a lot of really beautiful parts, and just seeing my daughter grow up so happy and how much she loves my wheelchair. Like, she cries when we have to get off the wheelchair because it's just so fun for her to ride around on. So just things like that, I realized that her life isn't limited. And that was one of the biggest things that I was worried about. She's so happy to just be with in her parents' presence and with her love and exploring all the new things around her. So that's been awesome.
Well, both of you suffered the onset of your disability shortly after you got married. So how has your disability affected your marriage, Chelsea?
I think that it made me realize what a strong marriage I had a lot sooner than most people get to realize it. I think that most marriages have to wait a few years before they hit such level of tragedy. And I kind of pity other marriages now because they might be cruising along and things are going so great and it's wonderful and we honeymooned in Hawaii and it was so fun and we're both so beautiful. But then about 7 years in, they hit a really rough patch and they're wondering if they're going to get divorced. And I just thought, how sad is that to have gone 7 years in your marriage and really wondered if that person was going to stay when things got hard? I know my husband's going to stay because things got hard within months of us getting married. Things got very hard. And I think that a lot of people were expecting him to leave. And he says that it never even crossed his mind. Not at all. And he just knew he was going to stay. And it's just such a blessing to be now moving forward into our 30s, knowing that I've got one that's going to stay.
Sydney?
I became disabled 2 weeks after our honeymoon. It basically happened overnight. So it was very, very early in our marriage. And my husband was in the military at the time and was about to be deployed. And so they wouldn't let him out of the deployment after they found out that my illness wasn't terminal, even though it was severely disabling at the time. And so he was deployed overseas 4 months after we got married, 3 months after I was diagnosed. And our whole first year of marriage and me being sick basically was long distance and me trying to navigate it on my own while living alone, which definitely was very scary at times, needing to call the ambulance for myself or getting stuck on the floor, not able to walk. And so a lot of my husband's comfort and support was over the phone around when the military allowed him to call or communicate with me. And so that was very difficult for both of us. And I remember my husband saying that, like, sometimes I'd be just sobbing in pain on the phone and he'd have to go. And that night he would like go into the chapel and just pray by himself because it was so hard for him to be so far away from his wife who was struggling with all of this and he couldn't be there to help her. And so I feel like a kind of what Chelsea was saying, where a lot of that struggle came so early on in our marriage, it really did lay a foundation of, okay, like whatever happens is going to draw us closer together and we are moving forward as a team. We're able to figure out whatever God sends to us and leaving isn't an option for either of us. And so when he came back 11 months later, I was a lot more experienced with navigating my symptoms, and now I needed to become experienced with accepting help for my symptoms. And that was something that was new to me. And my husband is just, he's so kind and so patient. I remember times where, you know, we would go to Bible study and we'd have to leave early because I was not feeling well. And I'd be like, I'm so sorry, we have to leave early. And he turned around and he said with a big smile on his face, baby, I love serving you. And that just completely changed the way I was seeing our marriage because I was seeing myself as, you know, this burden that maybe is holding my husband back. And he's seeing it as I get to joyfully serve my wife who I love. And I've found ways to serve him where we don't even like really see my disability as the central part of our marriage. We see each other still as the central part of our marriage. And the disability is just kind of the way we navigate, is just one of the things we have to navigate in life and in our relationship together. So even though I'm a lot better at navigating my symptoms, my husband still helps me. Like if he's there when I have a seizure, he'll still hold me and hold my hand. If I become incoherent, he'll still comfort and like explain things to me. He'll help take care of the baby. When I have limbs that go paralyzed, he'll help me get the movement back. When I lose the ability to speak, he'll go through the alphabet with me and help me to read again to kind of get over this initial slurs and stuttering. And so all of those things where it's like, yes, technically, a lot of this I can do on my own and I have done on my own. When he's there, it's so much easier to have someone by your side who is helping you through this and just allowing you to stumble and fumble along literally without any judgment and just love and support and we've been through so much together within, you know, being married only 3 years. And so I know that the future has really great things for us together, even if I never get better.
Just two follow-up questions. What branch did your husband serve in and where was he deployed?
Yeah, so he's in the Army. He's in the Army Reserves right now, planning to go back to active duty when he graduates. And he was deployed to Poland. And it was initially supposed to be a 9-month deployment. And then the Ukrainian-Russian war happened and he was extended indefinitely. So it ended up being, we found out he might not be coming back for a long time, 1 month before he was scheduled to come back. So that was that was really tough, not having an end date in sight all of a sudden. And so it ended up being 11 months that he was overseas. And then we moved to Kansas. And after he finished his contract, we're up here in Idaho so that we could both finish school. So he's still in school right now.
Well, please thank him for his service.
Thank you. I will.
Well, Sydney and Chelsea, as you may know, today in the United States, there are 31 states and Washington, D.C., where it's on the books allowed forced sterilization of people with disabilities. What are your thoughts on that, Sydney?
It's absolutely horrible. And I think that before I became disabled, I didn't realize how much eugenics was still around today in the United States. I felt like, you know, that was something that happened a while ago. That was a terrible thing. And maybe the last biggest time it happened was during World War II with the Nazis in Germany. And when I became disabled, and especially when I considered having a baby, it was horrifying to me to know that there are so many people who just blatantly are eugenicists and have no problem with it at all. They feel no guilt. You could call them out and say that's a completely eugenist mindset, and they'll be like, yes, it is. And they just don't see an issue with it at all. And I think a lot of that comes down to, like, so much of it is hatred for people with disabilities, but then there's also this misunderstanding of how beautiful and fulfilling someone who has a disability, how fulfilling their life can still be. And it's sort of this mindset that, like, a disabled life isn't worth living. And I think if you think that, then you don't know enough disabled people. Because our lives are so worth living. There are times early on in my disability where I was like, I was disappointed that my illness wasn't terminal because I couldn't imagine still living with it. And initially, I was told that my illness was terminal. And so being told later that it wasn't, I remember having to kind of grieve that because I was like, how am I going to have to live all the rest of my years of my life? I'm 22 right now. How am I going to have to do, like, decades and decades of this. And I'm so thankful now that my illness isn't terminal and that I get a full life with my husband and my daughter. I've been able to do more with my disability than I thought I would be able to. I've become more happy and confident with my disability than I was before I became sick. And I think that having this, you know, this mindset that your life isn't worth living if you become disabled isn't just harmful to people who are disabled, but it's harmful to people who become disabled and think, oh, now my life is over.
Chelsea, what would you add to that? The laws that allow forced sterilization. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm trying to think of something that Sydney didn't perfectly cover already. Oh, my goodness. I think that the best way to combat them, like what she's saying, is exposure, is to show people, disabled parents, to show them disabled children, to show disabled families and say, look, life is still good. Life is hard, but life is good. And I hope that one day through all that exposure, we can get to a point where disabled parents are judged exactly the same way that able-bodied parents are, that we address if a child's needs are not being met. But my children do not have any needs that are not being met. There is no reason anyone should stand in the way of me being a parent, of women like me being a parent, of women like Sydney being a parent. And it is just, it's so sad that we have to have this discussion. But I think that the more that we just show how beautiful disabled people's lives are, even Paul in 2 Corinthians, he brags on the thorn in his side. He says, because I have this inadequacy, Paul doesn't name it specifically, but because I have this shortcoming, it shows the glory of God better than anything else. And I think that that's what disabled people really do. And the more we look at them, the more we talk to them, the more we see these people living their actual lives, the less people are going to be okay with laws like that.
I think the Bible purposely did not let us know what that thorn was so that we all could relate to that, because we all have thorns of some type.
I agree.
Maybe multiple thorns. And so we can take comfort and encouragement relating to Paul's situation. I'd like each of you to speak directly to a woman who may be listening to the program that's in a similar situation where she's facing a disability and may feel overwhelmed, whether she's looking to have a family or is past that stage and still struggles. What is your message to her, Sydney?
I would tell her, congratulations, because, oh my goodness, you have the most beautiful, exciting journey ahead of you. And like I said before, you've been practicing so many of the hard things that you're worried about. You know, you've had your body changed. You've been dealing with the sleep deprivation and the symptoms and all of the hard things that a lot of people entering the parenthood healthy are saying, this is the hardest part of parenting. You've been doing that. And so you're not prepared for all of the wonderful parts. And your baby is going to look at you as their mom and completely just love you for that. And your presence, your love will more than compensate for your physical fluctuations, even though your motherhood will look different than it does for other people. To your baby, it will be just what they know and what they love, what they're familiar with. And yeah, I would tell her definitely to seek support and community, that there are a lot of disabled parents out there that are sharing their stories. And even though it feels like she's alone right now, probably because she doesn't see that very often, that the stories are there, the community is there. Go lean into it and show yourself all of these other parents with disabilities that are doing what you're about to do, and just rejoice in, you know, what is ahead of you, because it's absolutely amazing.
Chelsea, what would you say to the woman who may be in a similar situation?
I would say that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. It doesn't matter what you think about you. All that matters is what God has written about you. And you are chosen for this moment. You are chosen for this struggle. And as hard as that is, we have to remember that God is not wasteful with suffering. Everything God does is purposeful and intentional, and it is for our benefit. And that doesn't mean that things aren't hard. It doesn't mean that we don't have to ask for help, but it's not bad to ask for help. It's not bad to reach out. It's not bad to be on your knees praying to God and saying, I need you. I can't do this. That is a blessing from God when we have those struggles, that we are pointed back to Him. And we just have to accept that no matter what we're facing in this life, whether it's disability, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's relationships, everyone has something that's hard. Disabled people's is just a little more visible than others.
Well said also. This has been a great, great conversation with both of you. I think that many of our listeners' eyes and ears were open today, and I want to thank you so much for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so wonderful to be here.
You know, Victor, I sat in amazement with these two guests, looking at the disabilities that they face every day in their life with children, and then they have to deal with society in addition to that, who are putting a negative spin on everything. I think that they have dispersed the doubters in these programs.
Absolutely. And just to hear the fact that there are people out there and the nasty comments that they will get on some of their social media posts, they're trying to be an encouragement to other women and show that you can do this. You can raise these children despite whatever circumstance you find yourself in. It should be an inspirational story. And to hear that there are people out there that would leave nasty comments, Brad, I know that you share this with me. It's enough to make your blood boil.
Yeah, I think that they are much more diplomatic than I would be with those trolls who cross their paths. But I want all of those who are listening to the program, if you or someone you know is in a similar position of dealing with a disability and wanting to have children, looking to have children, or maybe you already do, I think there's a lot of good that you can find in these resources.
That's right. And I want to encourage you to make use of them on our website, lifeissues.org, where you'll find more stories of other people with inspirational stories and how people with disabilities have continued to live fruitful lives and they've had children. And it's not what society is saying. Again, make use of those resources that we've put together on our website, lifeissues.org. And be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.